And we just got the news the other day, number 30 is in the oven. Okay. So we love our family. God has been so good. We just are so thankful. Appreciate the opportunity of being here and sharing with you. Brother Monty Shepherd has been with you a few times, and he called this week. He has lung issues, and for a preacher with lung issues, that's tough. You got to be able to yell if you're a preacher, right? But he sends his regards, and we get together at least once a month to eat on a Wednesday. And when he called this week and told me he couldn't meet me for lunch, I knew he was sick. So I just want to commend you as the Church of Jesus Christ here live in Blackwell. My first time to be in Blackwell. I always thought Blackwell was McDonald's out by the interstate. You've got quite a town here, and you got quite a church here. I commend you. I'm excited and pleased with you. Also, I'm happy this morning that my daughter came up from Noble, Oklahoma to be with us. And she brought, well, actually, I brought my great-grandson, Kai. My daughter's name is Dawn, and Kai is her grandson, and she's raising him because it's 9 years ago her daughter died of brain cancer. And it's interesting what God will permit to happen and how God intervenes. And Kai has been a blessing. My wife is housebound, which means I won't let her out. But I'm so thankful. She's content to be home. She enjoys being home. She studies a lot. She watches lots of sermons. Our home church is the Council Hill Christian Church there in called Peck, Kansas, which is a town that you won't know anything about, but it's near the casino. Okay, you most of okay. She watches them online, and then wherever I'm privileged to be able to preach, she'll be watching us this morning. And then this afternoon, I have a grandson who preaches in Yukon, Oklahoma, and we'll be watching him. So I keep hoping that if she gets three sermons a Sunday, she ought to get her act together. She has a love for the Lord. She's had a lot of ministry with women throughout the years and continues to the best of her ability and time. But our daughter Dawn come to get Kai. We've had him with 2 or 3 days. And he has been a great help to us. He's 14, going on 12. No, and 16, going on 16. And we love him. We love him with all of our heart. And it's just fascinating to me what life brings our way. Our message this morning is called Whatever Your Situation. And excuse me if I brag a little bit. I don't mean to be bragging as much as just revealing things that have happened. I grew up in a small rural community in western Ohio. You know how it is, a small town of, 300 maybe, one church. And so if you were in that community and you went to church, you went to that church. We didn't know any different. But a neighbor of ours invited my mom to go to a neighboring church. Well, that's in a neighboring town, and you know how high schools are, right? You're loyal to your high school, the next town, you're loyal to that high school, and you're loyal to this church because of the high school, because of that town, and that high school, you know what I mean? She went to that revival meeting, and she allowed my brother and I to stay home. You know how it is when you got two little boys at home. Would you like to stay home and watch TV or go to church? We said, we'll stay here and we'll watch church, you know. Oh, no, we'll stay home and watch TV. My mom came home that night and she says, boys, I'm not asking you. I'm telling you, you're going to church tomorrow night with me. And I'm here to tell you that was the very first time, though I was raised in church, that was the very first time I ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached. I'd gone to church all my life, but I had never heard the gospel. Something happened in my heart. I can't explain it. I can't justify it. I don't need to. I don't want to. But I just knew that when you're a boy, I was 11 at the time, and I was scared to suggest to my folks that I almost went forward to give my life to Christ, because that was a separate town with a separate school from where we were affiliated with. And so when I finally got up the courage and told my mom that I almost went forward, she spun around and looked at me and said, "Well, son, that's interesting, because I've asked the preacher to come and talk to me too." And the next night, November the 20th, I won't tell you the year, you might think I'm 40. We both gave our lives to Jesus Christ. We became a part of that church and preaching the gospel. We had a preacher who loved the Lord, who knew the word, and he encouraged us. There was about 4 or 5 of us kids in the youth group, the older kids. And one night he asked 3 of us boys to preach a sermon. And so when I was 14, I preached my first time to preach. Under his guidance, each of us was given a point, 1, 2, 3. One stood up, then the third, and then the preacher finished us up to straighten up anything we'd messed up. You know how that goes. But it introduced me to the concept of preaching, and I dedicated my life to the ministry when I was 14 years old. Not because I was wise, not because I was good, it's just I felt the prompting of the Lord. And so it's been my privilege through the years. I've been a preacher all my life. Other things as well along the way, but always with the Word of God in my heart and on my mouth. And I just want to encourage you, whatever situation you find yourself in, know that the Lord knows you, and the Lord is willing to use you, and bless others through you. Now, one of the things I like to do when I share with a church, if you brought your Bible, I'd like for you to raise it up with me. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. If you don't have your Bible with you, maybe you have it in your cell phone. Raise up your cell phone. Just don't talk on it, okay? All right. Has that got it up here? There we go. All right. Let's say it together. The Bible was not given to us to increase our knowledge. The Bible was given us to change our life. Today we ask the Spirit of God to take the Word of God to transform us to be like the Son of God. I like that saying. I was listening to a preacher on the radio when I first heard that. This saying is not original with me, but I'm not going to tell you who was preaching, okay? But I heard that and I said, I love that, because that's the essence of the worship as we come together. I want to share 2 scriptures with you that are not the text, but they're scriptures that once again puts things within context of our attitude towards God's word. The first is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And it starts out with 2 words that ought to ring our bell. It says, all scripture. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Either the Bible is God's word, or we are believing in a fantasy of some sort that is not grounded or rooted in something that we can literally live our lives based upon that. When I was in the Army, 2 of my good buddies were graduates of Ohio State University. I was 18 years old, just out of high school. We were stationed in Germany at the time. And these 2 guys were self-proclaimed atheists. They were nice guys. I liked them, and they seemed to like me, but they worked me over. They kept trying to twist me around to make me reach. He said, you say you believe in God? Now, yeah, why? Well, because God's word. Well, what's God's word? In other words, they did that, called that circle effect. And I could not explain satisfactorily to them because they weren't wanting my answer. They were wanting to confuse me and trick me. But my final statement to them that allowed us to continue to remain on a good friendship basis, even though we differed greatly in our system of belief, is that I took my stand that either the Word of God is true or I have nothing to stand on. And you know what? Though they were self-proclaimed atheists, they said, we can respect that. And they respected me the rest of our time that we served together over there. All scripture is breathed out by God. Another scripture that talks about scripture is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active. I'm sorry, it's not just cold print on a page, okay, guys? It's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul from the spirit, of joints in the marrow. And now listen to this last phrase here. Guys, listen, this is tricky. It says, and it's discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. In other words, you're not just reading God's word, but listen to me. God is listening and reading you. God's word discerns your intentions and thoughts of the heart. Please, this is not just something static to be laid on the shelf and wait till next Sunday if you don't forget it. God's word, God's word. I call attention to these scriptures to let you know where I stand as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. I stand upon the Word of God as my basis for teaching, for approving, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. I've studied psychology, okay? Big deal. I got just as confused as you did. There's some merit there, but the bottom line is psychology is man still trying to understand man. Mankind still trying to understand. And that's why there's always changing. They're always changing. If you've ever been involved with the Psychiatric Association or read about them, they're always changing what they consider to be true or not true or good or not good. It's interesting. We are living in unsettled times. We're living a day and time of hatred and prejudice and condemnation and fear. It's been my privilege to be in 18 different countries, and I've met some marvelous, marvelous people. It's been my privilege to teach in Bible colleges in India, in Haiti, a little bit in Mexico, hold crusades and all that stuff. But the bottom line is the world, catch my phrase here, is going to hell in a handbasket. Because the world is denying who God is and his right for ownership of who we are. And so there's consequences that go with that. I know some wonderful people who are not Christians, but bless their heart, they're missing out on all they could be. They're just less than what they could be in Christ. Because we have a 24/7 news cycle, we get word of most of the horrific things that happen literally around the world. But don't let that discourage you, because the bottom line, if you've read history at all, mankind has been in crisis mode, well, ever since Cain. There's a slight correction during the time of Noah. But then we went back to the crisis mode. And so it is that we stand out as believers in God, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's okay. You don't look to the world for how you want to look, for how you want to feel, for how you want to think. Go to the one who made us. He's the one that puts us on right standing. My text for today is, with all these thoughts in mind, is that how can a child of God not only live a Christian life, but how can he grow and mature to become more and more like Jesus? See, that's why you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You don't read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to find out how to become a Christian. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tells you how to live as Jesus lived. The book of Acts is the first time we discover the power of the Holy Spirit in converting the soul. And so if you'll learn how to become a Christian, read the book of Acts. If you want to learn how to live the Christian life and how all the issues with churches and stuff, look at the Romans through Jude. And you'll find out how the churches had this problem and that problem and how they worked this out and how they solved this problem. They worked a lot. It's all in there. I just want to encourage you. The Bible is not a static thing to be set aside. As born-again believers in Jesus, the Son of the living God, we need to learn the essence of the word contentment. Contentment. That's my key word today. And I did not know your call to worship was going to use Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13 as your text, because that's my text. And I don't think they knew that. I thought that was kind of cool, sitting there. And I was, well, that's what I'm going to talk about. Philippians 4, 13 through 13 says, I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Now, wait a minute. Let me ask you, is that true for you? Is that true for you? I have learned in whatever situation I am in to be content. Now, I know the Holy Spirit prompted Paul to write these words, but where was Paul when he wrote those words? He was in prison. That's not a nice place to be. I don't know if any of you have the opportunity to be in a county jail or city jail or state prison, but I can assure you the worst of the lot that we have in America is better than most any other place in the world. I've been to Haiti. Okay? Don't even go near it. The stench is so bad as you're approaching the facility. I have learned in whatever situation to be content. He goes on, he says, I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. As we go on, let's consider that contentment is a needed lesson. It's a needed lesson because I'm going to guarantee you something. If you watch television for 10 minutes, you're going to be told that you need something. Right? And that you're not in good standing if you don't have that. Deodorant, insurance, air conditioning, water system, you name it. But the whole purpose of salesmanship is the first step of salesmanship is creating a need. Because if a person doesn't feel the need, they're not attracted to your product. So every time you're watching television, you're being inundated with need. I need, I need, I need. Okay? Contentment, a needed lesson. Let me give you some examples. Have you ever thought about the angels in heaven who did not learn to be content? Did you know that there were angels in heaven that were not content? though they were there in the glories of heaven and they aimed at something different, they wanted to be higher than they were. And in Jude chapter 1, verse 6, and the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Even angels blew it. Some of the angels, excuse me, not all, not all. Some of the angels blew it. Another place we find in Scripture where it was really badly blown is Adam and Eve. Have you ever heard of them? That's Mama and Papa, okay? Mom and Dad. They were living in a type of paradise in this world. Anything you want to eat, it was there. The trees produced fruit all the time. Man, it was so great. And then because something whispered in Eve's ear, and by the way, Adam was close enough to listen. They were told and they were convinced that they could have more. Because God had told them, you can have anything in the garden, anything except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You touch that tree and you die. They did. And we're still dying. As a pastor of a church, I overheard one of our deacons years and years and years ago, but I'm sure it's being said today. Over to him, he had a couple of boys in their teen years at high school, about ready to get out. And he says, I've told my boys I want each one of them to smoke a cigarette, drink a beer, and sleep with a woman. So that way it won't have any fantasy about it. So they'll know what's good or what's bad. Now, folks, I'm here to tell you something. That was one of the most ridiculous comments I've ever heard in my life. I've heard not that long ago, a young man in high school said he believed he needed to kick the tires before he bought the car. And he felt like he ought to sleep with the woman before he considered getting serious in her marriage. Well, I've bought a lot of cars and I've never kicked the tires. But I married one woman and we're still going strong for 66 years serving the Lord. I'm here to tell you, the world will tell you garbage that will sound good to you, just like it sounded good to Adam and Eve. But the consequences were so heavy. The result of their sin caused all of mankind to enter into sin. Those are just two examples. There's a lot more examples in Scripture, but I just want to let you know some people that we've thought good about, and properly so, also went through a time where they blew it before the Lord God Almighty. The second point this morning is the Apostle Paul had learned to, in every situation, to be content. Now, I don't know if you have read any of his epistles or not. I hope you have. I mean, if anything could go wrong, they went wrong for Paul. He was sharing the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ, and some people got mad and threw rocks at him, and they thought they had killed him. The next morning, he got up and went on his way. He wasn't dead, but I believe he was probably dead, and God restored his life. He was on a ship crossing from one community to another whenever the storms came up. I won't go into all the story, but the ship, bottom line is, no matter what they did, they tossed overboard all the cargo and the all the paraphernalia on the ship, and the ship still got caught on a sandbar and began to be beaten up. And he spent days and nights floating in the ocean or sea. He knew what it was like to have people yell at him and curse him, threaten him with death, over and over again, not just once. And yet, for some reason or another, Paul had learned to be content in every situation. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. The bottom line is, a gracious spirit is a contented spirit. It's hard to be contented if you're not gracious. The question we have then is, can I share my complaints with God and yet be content? Because I don't know about you, but I've had circumstances and situations in my life that were not very easy or fun to go through. I've been hired, I've been fired. I've been praised, I've been cursed. As a preacher, I got shot at. I went through army and never got shot at, but I've been shot at as a preacher. They missed. I've had cancer 3 different times. Back surgery. I'm saying that to you that if I wanted to, I could curl up into a ball and just say, curse God and die, like Job's wife wanted him to do. But boy, it's exciting, the stories I can tell you. I've had my heart opened up and a valve cut out, and another, it says it's a bovine valve. You know what that means? That means one of your cows bit the dust so that I could have a valve in my heart. Thank you. I enjoyed the steak too. What I'm saying is, you don't have to dwell on that stuff. God has delivered, and God has blessed, and God has enabled. It's amazing what God will do if you just simply back off and understand that God's in control, and whatever's coming your way, God brings purpose. And if you'll submit yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and strive to live like Jesus lived in his environment, in his day, while he walked on this earth, you can find out the ability to be content no matter the circumstances. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 12. I don't know if you know anything about Jeremiah or not. Man, he was a prophet of God. Anything that could go wrong went wrong with him. He was abused. He was cussed out. He was called a traitor to his country. They threw him down into a well. All these things. And here's Jeremiah says, to you, he's referring to God, to you have I committed my cause. Instead of cursing God and dying. My third point is, can I be aware of my condition and yet be content? One of the better examples of this is my wife. Her legs won't support her. She's bound at home. If I have to take her in the car to take her to a doctor, it is a pure, pure agony, the pain. And yet, her love for the Lord, she loves to share the Bible with ladies. She has a ministry of sending out birthday cards, Christmas cards, anniversary cards, get well cards. You know, we invest over $500 a year just to do that. Isn't that cool? Last time I went on a mission trip, it cost me more